From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, May 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Toyoksuk Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, a preview of the Juno Symphony's upcoming Pops concert, Boom, the first weekend of June. Details on the Dolly Dash Family Fun Run on June 8th to support the Dolly Parton Imagination Library Program. Cancer Connection on their annual Celebration of Life Walk on June 2nd in honor of National Cancer Survivors Day. And Theater Alaska is partnering with Juno Dance Theater to offer a variety of summer theater classes during Juno Fine Arts Camp. We'll find out how you can get involved. Those conversations plus garden talk and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. All right.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tau kanakaya ha ani kak gunish cheese.
Before we get started today, a programming note, Juno Afternoon will be on break after today until Wednesday, June 12th. Next week, we'll have Alaska Native Voice reporting from the Native Youth Olympics. Tune in for that on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, the week of May 27th. And on Thursday, May 30th, enjoy the final episode of Culture Rich Conversations, fourth season. We look forward to coming back with you for Juno Afternoon on our summer schedule, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, beginning Wednesday, June 12th. Please email junoafternoon at ktoo.org to book a spot on the show or to offer your feedback or suggestions. Gunath Chish. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. On Saturday, June 1st and Sunday, June 2nd, the Juno Symphony completes their 61st season with Boom, an explosive Pops concert, including music from movies, maybe even this one that sounds a little familiar in the background, movies, as well as some timeless classics. Here to tell us more, our music director Christopher Cook and Charlotte Truitt, executive director, Gunath Chish, for you both being here today. Hi, how are you? Wasa'iati.
Thank you for having us.
It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here on the Friday. I have a little vacation on the brain, so it's all
wonderful.
Good.
It's a good time of year for vacation.
And you're wrapping up a season, which do you even get a vacation after that? But it sounds like, I mean, from your website, it seems like you got other events happening right after the season closes.
We have a lot going on all year round. We will probably dial it back a little bit after the concert, but we still have activities going on in the summer with our wildlife cruise fundraiser in July and a summer strings camp in August for kids.
Nice. Oh, is that a new thing or no?
This actually is our fourth year that we've had the Summer Strings Camp up at Eagle Crest. It's been a wonderful program that we started right in the heart of the pandemic and as a way to support music and young people in the community and support what was happening in the schools. And we continue to do that. So we've got over 30 some students are already registered for that. We'll have up to about 45 kids this summer.
And if people are interested in that, they just go to junosymphony.org, right?
Right. Everything's at junosymphony.org.
Yeah, everything. Everything. As is this concert, Christopher. Boom. Where do we come up with that?
Boom. Well, this is, for those who came to last year's Pops concert, we did a lot of really exciting movie music. And we decided to do some of that again, but also to just kind of feature the idea of music that really is explosive. And so, boom, whether it's because of the music itself or whether it's because of all the percussion, and there's a lot of percussion in this concert, but we're playing just a lot of, we're actually playing music from all three of the first three Star Wars movies. And a lot of this music has not until recently been available outside of if you play the whole film score. So for those who love those music scores and those movies, there'd be a lot of nostalgia. And we're also doing music, in my opinion, the best music from How to Train Your Dragon, which is just a phenomenal film score from John Powell. But we're also doing some kind of, I guess I would say, explosion heavy classics. So we're going to be doing, for example, the Jupiter Movement from Holst's The Planets, which is just a fantastic piece. And we're also doing kind of on the movie level, we're doing the original shark theme from Jaws. So lots of really cool stuff on there.
Yeah, I was going to play that one because that's a, you know, such a familiar thing. It starts out kind of slow and then it's like that, it's like that sort of creeping, there it is. I mean, we all know that song, right? We all
know
that
right.
song stuck in our head. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah, there's some horns come in there, right?
Right.
It's all good. And it sort of gets explosive as it goes. And we know what happens after you hear that theme. You don't want to actually hear that theme ever.
It's not a good thing.
You don't want to hear that theme if you're out there in the water, for sure.
Not on the water or right before bed.
And that's great. And so do we have any guests? Is this mostly the symphony as we know it? Or are there other people coming into town as well?
Well, you know, our orchestra is made up of a wonderful diversity of musicians, both from here and from all over the country. But as far as guest artists, no, this particular concert doesn't have a guest artist. So it's very similar to last year. Kind of a smorgasbord of just really fun music. Mm-hmm. It's great. Really great for all ages, I think.
Right. It is great. And we do have one special soloist who's joining us on trumpet with a original composition.
That is absolutely true. Thank you, Charlotte.
He's been part of our orchestra for a while now, in fact, but he's joining in on this concert. So we don't always think of him as a guest artist. He's they're all special guest artists, right, really. But Brian will be with us.
Brian Neal spends a lot of time in Sitka and has been a longtime member of the Dallas Brass, which is just one of the premier brass groups in the world. So just a wonderful association that we have. And he plays with us and he just happened to write a little tune during the pandemic and we're going to play it featuring him.
Oh, so not only some classic music and movie score, but some original music
as
well.
Some original music, absolutely.
All right, that is so cool. And tell us again the details, Charlotte, of when this concert is happening and how do we get tickets and all that good stuff?
Sure. Well, it's Saturday night. We have a new start time for some folks. We've been having this start time all season, but we still call it new. It's 7:30 on Saturday night, June 1st, and then Sunday at 3 p.m., both at Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. And tickets are available at junosymphony.org. We're also in the midst of our raffle ticket sales time, so people can get those then as well.
You can get them at the concert.
At the concert or ahead of time on our website.
Okay. And when is the raffle?
The raffle will happen on Sunday, immediately following the concert, but you don't have to be present to win.
Ah, that's a good thing. Always. Yeah. That's a good thing. And then, Christopher, what are your summer plans?
Well, I don't know. I think my summer plans are to look for the sun, as most relatively new residents of this place do, and just get outside a lot. That's my favorite thing is to go hiking and running just in the beautiful outdoors here.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah. And the Pops concert is such a great way to end the season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been such a wonderful season with Candide and some other things that you've done this year. And so do you feel like the year was successful overall? Is this a good way to go out celebrating with a Pops concert?
Yeah, I think it's been a great year. We've had a lot of engagement with the community, not just in our concerts, but in our education outreach and extra workshops and collaborations within the community. I think this year was a really successful year in collaborating with other arts organizations to make our concerts and extra activities happen. So I think the orchestra is feeling great. I think the audience is feeling great. We've had lots of people coming, really strong audience numbers and participation. And so we're very fortunate and thrilled and grateful that we have such a vibrant orchestra here in town.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And Christopher, are we already looking ahead to next season? Any tidbits, any spoilers?
Absolutely. Actually, we're going to be unveiling the next season at the Pops concerts.
Okay.
We're very excited to do that. And we have some, again, it's just been a really wonderful period of growth and exploration for the whole organization. And next season, I think, will be a true celebration of all that we've been working to achieve, and some really interesting surprises in there.
Interesting surprises.
And by interesting, I mean the good interesting. not the proverbial curse.
Not the head scratching, like, why did they pick that?
I think one of the great things about the Juno Symphony is there's a little something for everybody. Mm. You know, there's such a variety of music that we do throughout the year. So be sure to check out our website, come to the concert, find out a little bit more about next season as well.
So. Yeah. I love that. It's going to be an exciting end to the season. It's really nice to see that it's happening. I love all this music you're talking about. I love the idea of sort of having these, you know, it is interesting because we've talked about this before, where sort of movie scores are kind of the new classical music in a lot of ways. A lot of composers who maybe would have been working this way years ago are now working in film. And so we hear a lot of that kind of music, and it's we have these sweeping epics that are, you know, in the cinema now with like Dune and all these kind of movies. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining that some of those scores will be making it to a Pops concert near you someday soon. But these that are that you've mentioned so far are going to be, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Well,
thank you so much for coming in. Gun the Cheese for being here today.
Thank you, Gun the Cheese.
We can follow you anywhere, of course, junosymphony.org, but you also probably have a Facebook and...
Yeah, we're on Facebook and Instagram as well, and we try to continually reach out on those mediums as well.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Charlotte, Christopher, thanks so much for coming in. Gun the Cheese.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Up next, the Dolly Dash Fun Run from the Southeast Alaska AEYC to help support the Dolly Parton Imagination Library Program, Costumes Encouraged. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. And speaking of Dolly Parton, Saturday, June 8th, Southeast Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children, otherwise known as AEYC, is sponsoring a family fun run, the Dolly Dash, a fundraising event for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library Program. And here to tell us more is Nikki Love, Gunnath Chee. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasa'iti, how's it going?
Good. Gunnath Chee. Thank you for having me. It's so exciting.
This is so cool. And I just want to get it out of the way because you were just sharing some numbers with me before while we were listening to Dolly Parton there. Like this program, tell us a little bit about what this program is, and then I want you to share those numbers that you were talking about.
Sure. Okay. So Dolly Parton believes that we, as a society, have got to get books into the hands of children, because nothing supports their social emotional development and their early literacy development like a book. And it's one of the easiest things an adult in a child's life can do, is just sit together and read, even just look at pictures. It's very powerful. So in 2006, AEYC signed on as a local sponsor of the Imagination Library. And so we have been getting books into the hands of kids ages 0 to 8 since then. And 8,400 children have gone through the program and 290,000 books have gone out.
That's an amazing number.
Isn't it? I just got that number like 5 minutes ago and I had no idea it was quite that high.
And this is a thing where, so do the students or the kids, I guess, because they could be students, they could not be students. Do they get to keep those books?
Absolutely. So a book shows up in the mail once a month for them, ages 0 to 5. And if they join when they're born, by the time they exit the program, they will have a collection of over 60 books.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's amazing. About building a little youth library.
Absolutely. Yes.
I love that. Okay. And so, and then you said, you mentioned it goes up to age 8. So what happens to
the kids? Age 5.
Age 5. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So this is a program for kids 0 to 5.
Yes.
Okay. So if you are a parent or about to be a parent, this is a great program to know about. And how do people get the information? How do they sign up for this program?
Well, you can sign up directly on our website, aeyc-sea.org. But even if you did a Google search for Imagination Library and you got to the main website that Dolly furnishes, you can still link into ours.
I see. Okay. Yep. That's really cool. Yeah. What an awesome thing Dolly Parton's doing. I don't think people maybe even know that this exists. For because she's known for her music mostly.
Right.
And so to have this ideal of knowing that reading is important and being able to create such an awesome program that actually gives you physical books in your mail that you can read and then keep in your library, that is really, really awesome.
Yes, she's our hero.
And of course, here's the thing. It's not cheap.
No. Now, while the program is free to families and free to the children who are enrolled, it's not actually free. So for us, the program costs about $30,000 a year, and we get about half of that grant funded. So the rest of it is up to us to raise those funds. And that covers things like the shipping cost and the books. Again, while they're free, they're offered at a lower cost. So we're having to cover that.
Right.
And it's definitely one of our values. So we've been, like I said, doing this since 2006, and we're not going to stop. But we do need to raise some money.
Yeah, got to raise some money. And so hence the Dolly Dash.
Yes.
Dolly Dash.
First time ever.
It's a first time event. Yep. Okay. So tell us a little bit about the Dolly Dash.
So it's going to be an amazing time. Costumes are encouraged. Any sort of costume you want to wear, if it's just a cowboy hat or, you know, some cowboy looking rubber boots or little dresses, who knows? And we're going to meet at the airport Dyke Trail, and registration starts at 9. The run starts at 10. There's going to be fun for all ages. There are door prizes. Just a great time. And I mean, it's actually a run. So for the running community, it's an official thing.
Oh, it goes on the runner's website and all that?
I believe it's
part of the 5K, yep. Whatever? Because you have it listed as a 1K, 5K family fun run. So yes. Obviously people could take the shorter track, like if you have younger kids, yep, or something like that, who are part of this, and you could bring them as well. But then you're also having, you mentioned there's like door prizes and...
Yep, door prizes. There are t-shirts available for purchase. I think it's going to be an amazing photo opportunity. We have a life-size cutout of Dolly that you can take your picture with. That's always, the older crowd likes it. The young toddlers are a little suspicious sometimes.
They're like, well, who is that? Yeah, why is there a giant life-size person there?
Yep.
And this is happening on Saturday, June 8th.
Yes. Yeah, so okay. Save the date.
So not this week and not next week. It's like two Saturdays from now.
Yes.
Or at least three Saturdays from now, because tomorrow would be the first one. Next week would be like the second or the first, and then this is on the next one. So it's a couple weeks from now.
Correct. So yeah, put it into your calendar, set yourself an alert. And if you can't make it, you can still donate to the program. So
yes.
For $30 for one, it provides books to a child for 1 year. So it's a really small donation and a huge impact.
$30,
yep,
to support a kid for a year?
Yep.
And how many books do they get, like 12 books?
They get 12 books a year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And they're all age appropriate, developmentally appropriate, a wide range of different topics and, you know, adventures and colors and pictures. They're really wonderful. So, you know, the books for the babies are the sweet little board books.
The little board books, yeah.
As they get older, the books, increase in complexity.
Yeah, more really about amazing. Rabbits and, you know,
and bedtime.
Squirrels and bedtime, eating your vegetables and
exactly.
All that good stuff. And you can register in advance, right? Can you register in advance for this?
Yep. You can register right now on our website. And the pre-registration is $15 for adults, $5 for kids. If you decide to register at the event, it's $20 for adults and $6 for kids.
I see. Okay. And I love that you're also encouraging wigs, pearls, And all the, you know, any kind of full blown costume, because I think that makes for, I mean, if you're going to celebrate Dolly, right?
Right.
You got to dress up a little Nashville swag, as it were.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that would be
a little bit of glamour.
Really, it'd be really good. And I know it doesn't, it takes, you know, a lot of folks to make this happen. And I know you have a ton of sponsors. Do you want to shout out a couple of the sponsors?
Yeah, absolutely. Temsco and Alaska Airlines have donated some big ticket items. We've got the Imagination Station, Pabot Health and Fitness, North Star Helicopters, ALNP. I mean, everyone's really getting in on this. There's a lot of excitement. And we're hoping that every year it's bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger and bigger.
Because you said you're not going to stop, right? So, like, I mean, this program is going to continue. And I guess I'm curious, like, how did y'all come up with the idea for the Dolly Dash?
Well, we've been talking about doing a fundraiser. It's not something we've done in the past. So that's why this is the first one. And we thought, what would be a good time for families? And some of the partner agencies that we work with had a really good turnout for, you know, stroller, walker, bike ride kind of, you know, physical events outside. And we thought, let's try that out this summer.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great thing. It helps to get people outdoors.
Yeah.
We're coming into that time where the sun is going to be coming out, and we need to find our ways to get outside. And this is a perfect, you know, thing to support. It's a fundraising event for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. It's sponsored by SEAAEYC, which is a wonderful organization that does so much for the education of young children. This is the Dolly Dash. It's a 5K or 1K family fun run. It's for everybody. Anybody can participate.
Yes.
And if you can't make it, as Nikki said, you can throw down $30 and support a kid reading for a year, which is that's amazing. And you can do that at the website, aeyc-sea.org. Have I missed anything, Nikki?
No, I don't think so. I will say I'll encourage some grandparents out there to either show up, come and be with us, or this is a great way to spread, you know, that grandparent love.
I love that.
We've got a lot of grandparent supporters, and that's the other piece of this, is just to raise awareness in the community about the program.
Yeah,
that it's got longevity and it's got a lot of impact. So we really appreciate any support we can get.
That's awesome. Thank you, Nikki. It's really a pleasure to have you here. Gunath
Cheesh. Gunath Cheesh. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Up next, Cancer Connections Celebration Walk in honor of National Cancer Survivors Day. But first, this week's episode of Garden Talk. Chloe Plesnack spoke with Jinser Hudson from the Jensen Olsen Arboretum to talk about this weekend's events to celebrate Public Gardens Day and Primula Day. This is Garden Talk.
Hi, Ginger. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Chloe. Great to be here today and share the Jensen Olsen Arboretum's events for Primula Day and Public Gardens Day.
Sweet. Well, tell me a little bit about it, why these are important to recognize and how the Arboretum is going to be celebrating.
I'll speak to Public Gardens Day first. It is a recognition of gardens that are set aside as what we like to call plant museums. Public gardens in cities and states across the country sometimes have a fee to get in. And we are lucky here in Juneau that Caroline set up the Jensen Olsen Arboretum to be free and open to the public all the time. And to celebrate that in the state of Alaska, we have designated the Saturday before Memorial Day as Public Gardens Day. So there are other public gardens within the state that do charge fees, but we all get together on this one day to welcome folks in to see what is a public garden and why it's important to preserve these lands that are unique or special or have special plant collections. Some may have plants on them that are not found anywhere else in the world. And just to let folks know, look, this is another place you can come and relax or get ideas for your own garden. This year, we're combining Public Gardens Day with Primula Day. Primula Day is an event just we celebrate here at the Jensen Olsen Arboretum because we have the nationally accredited collection for the genus Primula. And that gives us a great responsibility to maintain these cute, beautiful, floriferous little flowers that Caroline so loved. Caroline was the donor of the property, and the previous manager developed her collection into a larger collection for the accreditation acknowledgement. That puts us on the national and international stage. So we collect seeds and plants from all over when we can. We exchange seeds and plants with other folks, and there are many reasons to do that. One is because they love to grow here. Juneau's a great climate. A lot of primula come from rainforests in other parts of the world, damp places, high mountain cloud forests, and so they're acclimated to our weather. Another reason is some may be threatened where they are. We have a few on site that are considered threatened, and so we're really excited about that because they grow really well here. For instance, we have the Primula bialii, sometimes called the poker primrose, and one of the primroses from England, a Labior, which sometimes is called the cowslip or oxlip. I get those mixed up. Big, fat leaf, and at one time it was eaten as a salad green. Most of these flowers and their plant parts are edible. Another really special thing that we've tried to do is get our local native primulas growing. Primulas in Alaska tend to grow in mountain scree, up higher elevation, in really good draining soil. Of course, we're down here at sea level and it's really wet. So we've tried and tried, but we have a couple of examples that are close. And some folks in town have had success that are living in more rocky areas, have had success with our native primroses. But just to let everybody know that we do have some here in the state. So it's not just a crazy, wild, exotic flower that we've decided to foist upon the people of Juneau. So for Primula Day, we will have a plant sale at 10 o'clock. We'll offer several primulas, of course, and other perennials that are hardy that have been dug up and divided from the garden here. So we know they survive here in Juneau. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll have a primrose walk. And I'll be joined by folks from the American Primrose Society. It is a national society. And amazingly enough, our current president just happens to live here in Juneau, Pat Hartman. We've also had a previous president who is from here in Juneau. Most people may know the famous Ed Byarsky of Ed's Edible Landscapes. And if you can't find the primrose that you want here, you could probably find it at Ed's place.
Wow. I wish I didn't live in an apartment so I could have some primroses myself.
Well, Chloe, interesting you should mention where you live. We do have a few primroses here that do not like the wet winters. They can handle the cold. So we have a glass house here on the premises that those go in and they stay in. The pots go in sand, but the plants stay above ground. And folks who have decks or condos or whatnot may be able to grow certain primroses if they cover them with frost cloth and wrap them with a blanket, because they'll it's amazing with any kind of plant, but it is sometimes amazing what a primula will withstand. And I do want to mention that, yes, we're having a plant sale. The funds go to the Friends of Jensen Olson Arboretum, and the Friends help beautify the grounds, although part of our funding does come from the city of Juneau. As I mentioned, we are a parks and recreation facility, but where that budget leaves off, the Friends help us out a lot. They've raised the money and built the lovely Lou, which is here on site. They've helped build the Chilcat shelter. They help buy flowers and pots and potting soil and really just add that extra special touch because they really care about the arboretum.
Well, that's awesome. And for people like me that live in an apartment or something and are maybe listening to this, there's an awesome resource, it sounds like, to go out and be in nature and get to see all those beautiful plants. Even if you can't bring them home with you necessarily, you can go, you know, be a part of that bigger picture as well and maybe volunteer. Who knows?
That's right. That's why we have public gardens. If you don't have a garden at home, but you like gardens, well, you need to just come in and hang out here.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ginger.
You're very welcome, Chloe. Thank you. And thank you to KTOO. And thank you to the community of Juneau.
That was Ginger Hudson from the Jensen Olsen Arboretum speaking with KTOO's Chloe Plesnack for this week's Garden Talk. You can find out more information about the upcoming events at the Arboretum at friendsjoarboretum.org. And for more on Garden Talk, you can visit or subscribe at ktoo.org/gardentalk.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear for the whole family. Now carrying women's workwear from Dovetail and Aloe Yoga Pants. Located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
You are listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Juneau Nonprofit Cancer Connection is hosting a local recognition of National Cancer Survivors Day, a day of strength, hope, and celebration. It's the annual Celebration of Life Walk on Saturday, June 2nd at 11 a.m. No, excuse me, Sunday, June 2nd at 11 a.m. Here to share more are Cheryl Weinberg and Molly McCormick. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasaiti, how's it going?
Goodness,
great.
Awesome. So let's first talk about Cancer Connection just a bit. Just remind us about Cancer Connection and all the wonderful things that they do.
I'm happy to do that, Boston. So Cancer Connection has been around in Juneau for more than 25 years. It's a grassroots organization. We provide assistance to people who are experiencing cancer, support for them, support for their families. And we also present a number of awareness and education events and just generally are the go-to people, I guess, when people have questions and feel a need to get support.
Yeah, absolutely.
In their cancer journey.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And of course, cancerconnectionak.org has all the details and all the things that you do throughout the year and the programs that you offer, support with, you know, people needing an apartment down in Seattle for if you have to go down there to the cancer, you know, care down there, all kinds of wonderful things that Cancer Connection does in that community. And so this celebration that you're doing is now, how many years has the Celebration of Life Walk been going on? Do we know?
The walk, a celebration for National Cancer Survivor Day has been going on for more than 13 years because that's when I was diagnosed and I participated. The walk used to be a luncheon.
Okay.
And then it transitioned to a walk. I'm going to say at least 10
years ago. Yeah. A while back, Molly, you think?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great because it's not a long walk, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what the walk is and when it's happening and where we're going to and from.
Sure. Thanks, Boston.
Yeah.
It happens Sunday, June 2nd, 11 to 1 p.m. It starts at 11 a.m. at Marine Park and you walk to the Whale, the Bill Overstreet Park. And everybody's invited. Come bring a friend. And we're giving out carnations at the start and making hearts and a sign-in sheet. And then Ray Bennett will join in and the bagpipes will join in the walk on the boardwalk. And then if you want to, you can ring the bell. And then our program at the Bill Overstreet Park, a.k.a. the Whale, Miss Frances Houston will deliver the land acknowledgement. And Nancy Barnes and her dance group will dance. And then Cheryl Weinberg, our Cancer Connection president, will welcome everybody. And we have the Coast Guard doing the barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Coast Guard's going to be throwing down some grill, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And it's really, and anybody can go to this. It's anybody who, you don't even have to know it. You can just go and support cancer survivors on this day, right?
We would love that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And it's nice to have the short walk and then sort of a program. And what's the ringing of the bell? What does that signify?
This will be new this year. Usually when you're done with your cancer treatment, you ring a bell when you're done with treatment. Like when I was done with chemotherapy, I got to ring the bell. So okay. This is just something new that we added this year if people want to ring the bell on the way into the whale.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, that's really nice. And Cheryl, you're the president.
I am.
As Molly just said, she called you out, said you're going to welcome everybody.
I am.
And how long have you been the president?
This is my third year as the president of the board.
Oh, wow.
Is that right? Yes. And I've been on the board for 4 years.
Oh, that is so
nice.
My
fourth year. Yeah. It's a great group of people. And some of the people on the board are cancer survivors. Others are supporters. And they have passion and heart and want to help. And,
yeah.
And they do. They always show up. We try our best to provide resources, support, and a great environment for people who are having the challenge of their life. So
yeah. Yeah. It's a huge challenge for sure. And Molly, how do people get involved? Do they have to register or do you just show up at 11 a.m.?
You just show up before 11 a.m. and you can get a carnation and fill out a heart if you want in support of somebody you know that has cancer or yourself.
I see. Okay.
And so you don't have to sign up. You just show up.
And
we just start walking and it's a nice, pleasant visiting with everybody. And
is there a specific area of Marine Park where you're going to meet? It's like near the under the whatever you call those things, the lunch tables,
the pavilion
areas.
Yeah, just right there. We'll have a couple tables.
I see. Okay. And I know that I also wanted to give out this website for those people who might want it. A National Cancer Survivors Day is a national holiday. And there is a website, ncsd.org, where you can find out more information and resources and all kinds of information about the events that are happening maybe around the country to honor this day. It's a really great way to sort of celebrate and honor the strength and the resilience of people who've survived what is, you know, really not good. Right. It's sort of the plague on society, right? The cancer. And you can also probably get information at the cancerconnectionak.org on screenings and all the things that you might need to know about as well in terms of your yearly. We just had some folks in talking about that in terms of from Search talking about Women's Health Day and just sort of, this is Women's Health Month and sort of talking about, you know, making sure that you're getting all those screenings and all the things that you need to do yearly to early prevention is key, right? Early prevention is key. But this event is a celebration and it's just really wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. That's really great. Is there anything else that we need to mention about the event? Besides, we did mention food, right? Barbecue.
We mentioned food and bringing friends.
Yes.
And being
friends.
There to celebrate with music and laughter. And I think that sums it up.
And also the hold a good thought for good weather.
Absolutely. Yes. Please. And I would also say that the hearts that Molly talked about, some people use those hearts to honor the memory of someone who they've lost. Because we also encourage people who are grieving to show up and experience the sense of community.
Yeah.
So there's that as well.
Yeah, that's why I wondered about the bell, because I wondered if that was also something that is for the memory of someone. Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what that was, but it makes sense that it's for somebody who maybe has completed that that trial of getting through all that.
I think it's whatever's meaningful for you. If you want to ring the bell in honor of the memory of someone, you certainly step right up and do that.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Molly, Cheryl, thank you so much. What a wonderful event. It's the Celebration of Life Walk. It's Sunday, June 2nd at 11 a.m. Just show up at Marine Park underneath the pavilion there and take the short walk to the whale and, you know, and celebrate and honor survivors of cancer and also maybe have a burger or two. I really appreciate that. Molly, Cheryl, thank you so much. Gunashish.
Gunashish.
Thank you for your support.
Yeah. Up next, summer is here and it's time for the Juno Fine Arts Camp. And this year, Theater Alaska is offering some musical theater and Shakespeare sessions. We'll have a preview next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Theater Alaska is about to enter their fourth Alaska Theater Festival, a summer of theater and cabaret performances that happens all over town. And this year, they are expanding to include some theater sessions in partnership with the Juno Fine Arts Camp. And you can learn more at www.theateralaska.org. That's theater with an E-R. And you can also find out more about the Fine Arts Camp at junodance.org. And joining me now is Floridolino Lagandino, Artistic Director for Theater Alaska, Bridget Lujan, Executive Director of the Juno Dance Theater and also the Juno Fine Arts Camp, and Talia Spangler, actor in the upcoming play Pride and Prejudice and recent graduate of law school. Oh. Congratulations, Natalia. Gunath Chisha Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Good.
Nobody wanted to answer. Yeah. I was like, spring is here, summer's here. Well, it's because you're all so busy, because this is quite the schedule. So first off, how did the Fine Arts Camp and Theater Alaska get hooked up together?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, like, people have been asking about like theater camps for young kids, mm-hmm. like ages 6 to 12, for the last couple of years for me to and other people in the company. And, you know, my daughter actually trained at Juno Dance Theater. So I was like, you know, hey, this might be, they might be a great organization to team up with. And, you know, they have the Juno Fine Arts Camp, and it's been around for how many years now?
Oh, gosh. 1977 was the first year.
So a few years.
Yeah, it's been around a while. You haven't been running it that whole time, have you, Bridget?
Oh, heavens, no.
And we just thought it would be great to have a partnership rather than start something all up on our own.
Right.
Yeah, so it's been really wonderful to be able to work with Juno Dance Theater and Juno Fine Arts Camp.
That's a really cool thing, what you just said there, because I think partnerships are key. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because like, you, of course, you could start your own theater camp for kids, and you know, Perseverance has their star camp, mm-hmm. and there's all kinds of different things that happen, but getting to be able to partner, and was that something, Bridget, that you all were maybe looking to do, was sort of expand the theater offerings? Because tell us a little bit about Juno Fine Arts Camp for those who don't know.
Sure. Fine Arts Camp, it's a multidisciplinary camp. It's been geared towards K through sixth graders. And I mean, everything, Fine Arts Camp is probably a little more narrow than everything that's all offered. We've got soccer drills and painting and clay. And so pretty much any medium you can imagine we've experimented with, depending on who we can find to teach. But, you know, expanding, yes, but also just being smart about it. There's so much competition for camps and so many opportunities and so many offerings. Maybe in 1977, Fine Arts Camp was the only game in town, but now the list is just, you know, ongoing and growing every day of all the offerings. So it was smart, I think, of us to try. And Floridolino is the idea guy here, but he, you know, to join it, any musical offerings or theater, you know, we want to train kids. We want to have them have a good time. We want them to get turned on to the arts and educated in the arts. So it was a really natural fit for us. The different part, which Floridolino can talk about, is this expansion into the upper grades and the upper ages. So we go age 8 all the way up to 18 with some of the theater camps.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, very so cool. Very different. And parents don't necessarily know to look to us for their middle and high
schoolers. Because they think of Juno Fine Arts Camp as for the littles.
Exactly.
Right? Zero to sixth grade. You said up to sixth grade.
Right.
But this is actually expanding. So tell us a little bit about that, Floridolino. Where was that idea?
Well, I mean, I think that I think that like we were interested in performing and doing things for performance. And so like Donnie Gott is actually doing a Shakespeare camp this year. And so we're thinking, because they haven't had anything like that for a while. So like offering that kind of opportunity for kids that are, it started off, it's 10 to 18, but we've moved it down to 8 to 18 now, just to give a lot of people an opportunity to participate. So like right now we're doing a lot of, in the musical theater realm, we're doing 1 week camp. camps. One camp was with Erica Lee, and then one other camp with Q Smith, who is a fantastic, powerful performer from New York City, was in Come From Away. And those are filling up pretty fast. But we want to be able to build so that we can have, again, performance camps in the future. So like in next year, we're looking at having a full-on Shakespeare performance for kids. And then next year also for musical theater.
So like doing just a longer process?
Exactly. Okay. For a longer process. I mean, I think this is like kind of like our test year. And we're learning a lot about collaborating with each other. And then also right. what the needs are in the community. But there is definitely a need for more performance camps in the summertime here in Juneau.
Yeah, I love you. You mentioned Donnie Gott, who a local wizard of theater. And, you know, I love that she wrote on her call for the Shakespeare camp. It says, calling all creatives, weirdos, nerds, and clowns ages 8 to 18. Yeah. Do you memorize song lyrics, even to the songs you don't even like?
Yeah.
Do you like playing make-believe? Do you dance around in your living room? Like all the different things that, you know, young kids in their imagination do. And maybe parents are like, what do I do with this creative exactly. energy of, you know, of Johnny or Sarah or whoever the kid's name is? What do I do with it? And so like having the ability to send them into a camp for a little bit is wonderful. So when do the camps start, and are there different sessions? Or I know people can find out most of those details online. So give us like the overview of what that looks like, how the different kinds of theater camps that you're offering.
So Juno Fine Arts Camp starts on the 3rd, I believe, of June. And then we start ours as well. Donnie starts teaching Shakespeare on the 3rd of June. And we're two-week sessions. The first 2 weeks of June, and then the 3rd and 4th weeks of June, Donnie Gott is teaching a Shakespeare camp for ages 8 to 18. Now, you can take 2 weeks, or you can take all the whole month. If you're out there, sign up for the whole month. Right. It's really great.
Theater camps follow the model of the existing fine arts camp, which is we measure camp by the week. Okay. You look at the weekly schedule, you go to the same classes all week long, but you build your schedule based, you pick your menu of classes, and then you go all week. So you can register for 1 week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks, all four, come all day, come half day. And I think both Shakespeare and the musical theater camps are in the afternoons from 12:30 to 3:30. So that's what we call sessions 4, 5, 6. But if they're just coming in the afternoon, they can sign up for the theater camps only. Or if they want to build a full day of camp for that particular week, then they students can go and choose. I mean, we've got clay and dance and paper making, watercolor, rock painting, sewing. I mean, it's just.
Oh, so you can combine.
Yeah,
you're not necessarily
exactly.
married to one.
Yeah, up through
form.
Sixth grade. Yeah,
right,
so up through our sixth graders.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the Littles Camp, I mean, Q is doing it from June 10th to 14th, but it's actually the performance on the 15th, and then which is a Saturday. And then Erica Lee is going to be doing from 17th to 21st, but her camp, I think hers is already filled up already.
Hers is full. Yeah. They're both pretty full. I think Erica's has a wait list, but we're going to see what we can do.
And for the Littles, it's like, Littles is like for ages 6 to 12. But I just want to bring up on the 15th, the students that sign up for the first Littles camp and also for the first section of the musical theater camp in the afternoon, they get to perform in the Broadway Cabaret, which is kind of a fundraiser but performance opportunity for kids on July 15th. At Thunder Mountain Auditorium, a school auditorium at 7 p.m. And then they get to perform with all these Broadway performers. Q Smith, Diane Phelan, who was Cinderella in Into the Woods on Broadway, Billy Bustamante, who was also in Miss Saigon on Broadway. So all these great performers, they'll get to perform with them and be accompanied by Missouri Smith and also by Rob Cohen on the piano.
That's really cool that you're bringing in some folks. You're mixing, some of the teachers are local, some of the teachers are coming from out of town, and that happens with the fine arts camp too. I know we have different teachers coming in all those different areas that you mentioned, that you have genres of study.
Absolutely.
Right, and there's people coming from all over to help teach the kids of Juneau, which is just fantastic. And like as I mentioned at the top, you can go to TheaterAlaska.org, that's theater with an ER, or JunoDance.org, and you can see all of the different classes and the schedules and be able to sign up there. And Florilino, that is just part of what the Alaska Theater Festival is this summer, because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And I know I want to ask Natalia about this, because you are performing in...
Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, adapted by Kate Hamill. And I'm not the only one in this room who's performing in the show.
Exactly.
Your host, Boston Christopher.
It is true. I'll be playing in this play as well, full disclosure. I'll be playing Mrs. Bennett, going to be a lot of fun. This is a modern translation by a playwright named Kate Hamill, who has done a few of these kinds of translations before. It's very funny. And do you want to tell us who else is in the play, Natalia?
Yes. Going alphabetically, we have Christina Apathy, who will be playing Elizabeth Bennett, Enrique Bravo, Boston Christopher, Brian Crowder, Matthew Myrick, Kristen Rankin, myself, and Tara Stark.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's going to be great. And I don't even want to give away who Enrique Bravo is playing, because I think people will just enjoy it when they come to the performance.
So.
But he's not playing Darcy. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah.
You will have some fun with Enrique, who is a very well-known local performer. People love Bravo. It's going to be a lot of fun. And for the full schedule of that, when do we open? I don't even know when we open.
It's June 19th to July 14th is Pride and Prejudice. And then other things happening, Neighborhood Cabaret is June 10th to June 30th.
Yeah, this is different because the cabaret in the past hasn't had as many performances as you're doing this year, right? People love these cabarets.
Yeah.
They're done outside and you do these, but there's usually like one or two. And this year you're doing like a weekly schedule of these things.
Yeah, well, actually, it kind of happens. We have like maybe one more than we had before, but we usually just had it all in one week. But because we're, okay, Erica, full disclosure, Erica Lee is only here in June. So.
Oh, I see. So you're like, got to take advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Full disclosure. So, you know, she's teaching at the camp. She's doing Neighborhood Cabaret. She's actually going to be singing in the Broadway Cabaret. So she's been doing a lot of stuff. So we're keeping her active. And then we have a partnership with 3 Feet for June. You know, at the very end of the our festival, a climate fair for a cool planet, which is a kind of a celebration of the environment and like education about what the challenges of climate change. And we're going to really great performers performing in it. Colette's going to perform, Colette Costa, Diamond Dollar Entertainment, Guy Unzicker, Stacey Unzicker, Air Jazz is going to be performing, Lisa Denny. And then also we're going to have, we're working on it, we're bringing in somebody from out of town that's going to also perform. So we're hoping to have like over 1,000 people attending as a kind of educational event at the end of the summer.
Yeah, the Climate Fair for a Cool Planet, I did one a few years back. I think it was one of your first summers. And it's just a really cool event to get people sort of to see some entertainment, but also to get some education about what's going on. And you can meet the 350 Juno folks and do all that kind of fun stuff. And that's really, really cool. What a big summer.
Just nonstop.
That's wonderful. Of course, it's the Juno Fine Arts Camp, which is run by Juno Dance Theater. Bridget does amazing work there. Theater Alaska, run by Florilino Lagandino, which has a packed summer schedule of the theater camps, plus the cabarets outdoors, plus the Pride and Prejudice. And there, as you mentioned, there's some fundraisers. And you can see all of the information on their stuff at TheaterAlaska.org, theater with an ER. And of course, Natalia, you'll see Natalia starring in the play Pride and Prejudice, opening June 19th.
Yes,
and at the same time, she'll be studying for the bar, apparently.
Yes.
Yay. Busy summer.
Go blue.
Learning lines and studying for the bar.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here. Gwyneth Cheesh, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Boston.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful weekend. Reminder that Juno Afternoon will be on break until June 12th. Next week, catch coverage of the recent Native Youth Olympics and the final episode of Culture Rich Conversations' fourth season. Gwyneth Cheesh for listening and for your continued support. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer suggestions or feedback, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian and agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh.